Our gracious Heavenly Father, the great Almighty God, we thank you that we are able to come together to worship you in this way because you first reached out to us. While we were yet in darkness and sin, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to die for us. We praise you that he not only died but rose again, ascended on high, now seated at the right hand of God the Father, he is even now interceding for us. Father, we thank you that this day we can join our hearts and spirit with your children in all parts of the world to worship you in this way. We pray, Father, that you will be with them, bless them, even as we ask that you will also be with us and bless our time together and teach us how to draw near to you in our hearts, in our spirit, that we may be ready to hear what you have to speak to us and to respond accordingly. We thank you for the assurance of your love, your presence, as we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you may be pleased to speak to us, to renew our hearts, to strengthen our spirit. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 263rd message on the Lord Jesus Christ, the 146th message. We are reflecting on the death of the Lord Jesus, the 91st message on the significance of the cross. At this point in time, we are considering the Lord's Supper, the 7th message. And the subtopic for today, readiness to partake the Lord's Supper. Readiness to partake the Lord's Supper. Today's topic is closely related to the preceding message. I also want to briefly summarize what we consider on the preparation of heart and also conclude one last part which I wasn't able to complete in the last message. Just briefly, we saw the importance of preparing our heart to partake the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul warns us not to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and so we need to examine ourselves, lest we eat and drink judgment to ourselves instead of being spiritually strengthened and refreshed. As we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, an important aspect to bear in mind is the soberness in spirit and mind, a prayerful spirit, not frivolous, and also asking the Spirit of God to search our hearts so that we may be able to recognize whatever we need to put right in our lives. We come before the Lord with a repentant, contrite spirit, and we confess whatever we recognize we have done wrong in our lives, and not only acknowledge the sin, but also asking the Lord to help us to know how we can turn away from such wrongdoings and determine by His grace to live a life pleasing to Him. That is the meaning of repentance and a need to correct any wrong, negative spirit, attitude towards anyone, especially towards members of the body of Christ. I mentioned that this aspect of preparing our hearts can be summarized as dealing with the negative, this area of repentance and putting right our lives, dealing with the negative. And this is an important aspect, at the end of which we can have assurance of forgiveness, cleansing, if there's genuine repentance. God doesn't want us to come before His presence to partake the Lord's Supper with a guilty conscience. For that matter, we need not and we should not continue to carry the burden of guilt at any point of time in our lives. Whether sin, we repent and we can be forgiven. However, preparation of heart should not stop at dealing with the negative. That's why I want to conclude this part in our consideration of preparation of heart. We should go on with the affirmation of the positive. Washed, cleansed, we now affirm the positive, and the major aspect is the affirmation afresh of our consecration to the Lord, that we love Him, we want to serve Him, we worship Him with all our hearts, soul, mind and strength, and also affirm afresh our love for people and the brethren, even as the Lord loves us. The Lord loves us, we also should love others, but not only that, the quality of love. We ask the Lord to help us. We want to love others the way He loved us. So these are not just words, but the expression of the attitude of our hearts, and we find that we are lacking. We ask the Spirit of God to help us to learn to love in this way and to learn to worship God in this way. Together with that, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, apart from dealing with the negative, wrong attitude and spirit, we now adopt a healthy spirit, the right attitude, the right spirit. An important aspect of the right spirit is the spirit of humility. We come humbly before the presence of the Lord, together with a healthy sense of unworthiness. We do not deserve. God in His grace has reached out to us, and even as we partake, there is a healthy sense of unworthiness, and at the same time, gratitude to God for His love, His grace, His provision, and especially the provision of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the provision of the cross. And the right attitude of heart, the healthy, positive affirmations can be further strengthened as we reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ, His person, His life, His teaching, especially His death. This we have already covered earlier. Remembrance of Christ and the implications for our lives, I will not elaborate now. And likewise, the consciousness of the second coming of Christ and the implications. All this is part of preparation of heart. Again, here I will not elaborate. You can reflect back on what we've covered in the earlier messages on these areas. And finally, also, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, it is helpful for us to do so with a consciousness that we are not doing this on our own, but we are doing this together as the body of Christ. The consciousness of the fellowship of partaking the Lord's Supper together, all in the same healthy spirit of worship with a repentant, contrite heart. Now, if we do this meaningfully, then not only can we be strengthened in our personal lives, but also together as a congregation, God will be pleased to manifest His presence and the flow of the life of the Lord. So I'll just conclude with this aspect, and that is, having done all this, we finally partake the Lord's Supper with a consciousness of all these aspects and in faith. Especially faith in the sense of, in the partaking, not just simply concentrating on the physical elements, just taking the bread and drinking the wine, but exercising faith, concentrating on the spiritual dimension. Faith that as we partake the Lord's Supper in faith and with the right attitude, spirit and frame of mind, that we are at that very moment of time being strengthened by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also our oneness with the Lord, our oneness in the body of Christ can be enhanced. This is in line with the scriptural teaching, and we exercise faith, believing God that it will be in that direction. Strengthened by the life of the Lord, enhanced in our oneness with Him, with one another, in the body of Christ, and also that we can be spiritually strengthened and helped to be more ready and equipped for the purpose and meaning of our time on earth, to grow well and to serve the Lord well in contributing our part to the advancement of God's kingdom, even as we eagerly await the second coming of Christ. So we conclude our consideration of preparation of heart on this note. I now want to go on to consider the next related area. This is the seventh area that we are considering on the Lord's Supper, and that is readiness to partake the Lord's Supper. Readiness to partake the Lord's Supper. In this message, I want to concentrate in particular on who is eligible to partake. As I go along, this will become clearer. Who is eligible to partake? Who is ready to partake? Is it meant for anyone who professes to be a Christian, anyone who says he is a Christian? Or on the other hand, some may say that it's meant only for adult, baptized believers. Is it so? There are some contexts where the teaching is that adult baptized believers only can partake of Lord's Supper. Should it be this way? Is it only meant for mature believers? If you've just come to know the Lord, are you ready to partake? Or should you wait for a period of time? Is it meant only for those who are living overcoming lives? What if there are various weaknesses in your lives? You fail from time to time? Are you ready to partake? What if during the time of Lord's Supper there's a sense of unworthiness to partake? Should we partake or should we refrain? And then what about children? Are children ready to partake the Lord's Supper? It's a question that some children in our midst have been asking. How about them? Especially some of them, I have raised a question, having heard something, to some degree they appreciate the meaningfulness, the significance of the Lord's Supper, and they may think that it may be helpful if they can also partake. And they're asking, should they partake? And if not, why not? In this regard, I want to begin with a general statement. That is, the Lord's Supper is meant for true believers. True believers, we can elaborate from different angles. We can say disciples of the Lord Jesus, true disciples. We can say these are those who have entered into the new covenant. They know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've entered into the new covenant in Christ's blood. They have been born of the Spirit. They are God's children. All this describes the same thing. They are now in God's kingdom. True believers, disciples. The Lord's Supper is meant for true believers. Not those who profess to be Christians. That means they may say they are Christians or they call themselves Christians, but they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Some may consider themselves Christians, but they do not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. They are not born of the Spirit. And there are many professing Christians in this world. If they fill up a form, religion, and so on, they will fill in Christian. But they may not be born again, born of the Spirit. They do not have personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have never received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They are still outside God's kingdom. However, they consider themselves Christians. Sometimes because in their context, people like them are considered Christians. There are some of them who say they are born Christians. And for many, many generations in their family, they are all Christians. So when they're born, they're already Christians. So they think in that way. They are brought up in a Christian environment. They attend worship service, go through some of the external practices, and they consider themselves Christians. But they never experience their sins forgiven and the Lord Jesus coming into their hearts as their personal Savior. Likewise, there are also many who may consider themselves as belonging to what some people call Christian countries, Christian nations. So if they are in that country, they think they are Christians. So the Lord's Supper is not meant for such people. It is only meant for true believers. Let us look at the scriptures. The Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus for his disciples. We turn to Matthew 26, verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. The institution of the Lord's Supper by the Lord Jesus. Verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." This is a context where the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Subsequently, disciples celebrate the Lord's Supper, but it was instituted in this way by the Lord Jesus. And what was the context? The context was him taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, and giving it to the disciples. So it is not ambiguous, it's to the disciples. And then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So it's for those who have entered into the covenant, the new covenant. And in times past, we have considered this, that we enter into the new covenant when we are reconciled back to God because our sins have been forgiven, because we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for true believers, for his disciples, for those who have entered into the new covenant. And this is where we see, after the institution of the Lord's Supper by the Lord Jesus, the early church practiced it in this way. In the early church, believers regularly partook of the Lord's Supper. Let us turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We'll look at this verse in an earlier message, but now I want to refer to more than just this verse, but beginning with verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The breaking of bread here refers to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. So the believers were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were breaking bread from house to house, partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, if we look at the context, the preceding verses, who are these people who are breaking bread, partaking of the Lord's Supper? Beginning from verse 14, we see Peter taking his stand and then preaching the gospel. And then verse 37, we see here the hearers, they were pierced to the heart, and they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So they heard the gospel, they asked how should they respond, and they were told to repent. And then verse 40, with many other words, he solemnly testified to them, kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then verse 41 says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So these were the people who received the gospel, They repented. They received the word of Peter. They responded positively. That is, they responded to the gospel and they were added. Added here can be added to the congregation, or you can say added to the body of Christ. And then, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves. Who were they? These were the believers. Those who have just been added, as well as those who are already believers, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and so on. These are the true believers who have responded, and they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. In the same direction, the passage we've been referring to again and again, 1 Corinthians 11, in our consideration of the Lord's Supper, we just highlight a few verses. Paul, in his teaching on the Lord's Supper, reading from verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And Paul was writing to believers. He said that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So the Apostle Paul was addressing believers, and he explained to them the context of the Lord Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And the words here, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood," we saw earlier, the new covenant. So to partake of the cup, you must have entered into the new covenant. So only true believers who have entered into the new covenant in Christ's blood are eligible to partake of the cup, which is a new covenant in Christ's blood. And also, it's only true believers who are able to properly partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. The Lord Jesus says, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as we saw, remembrance of Christ is not just a mental exercise that we can recall, but rather it includes the appropriate response from our hearts to Christ, who he is and what he has done, especially what he has accomplished at the cross. So that kind of remembrance of Christ can only be true of true believers. And even clearer, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we have seen how the proclamation of Christ's death requires the proclamation in faith, with conviction, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that it has an impact on the spiritual realm. The proclamation of Christ's death. Now, this can only be true of true believers. If you're not a true believer, then you cannot proclaim Christ's death in this way. Likewise, this aspect of until he comes, the looking forward to the second coming of Christ, can only be true of those who are born of the Spirit. Otherwise, we cannot properly look forward to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is clear that the Lord's Supper is intended for true believers, rather than partaking of the Lord's Supper to help you to become a true believer, to prepare you to become a Christian. It is not that way. You must first become a believer, a child of God, you have entered into God's kingdom, then you are eligible, you are ready to partake. So who is ready to partake? True believers who have prepared their hearts and spirit, as explained in the earlier message, so that they will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. If you are not a true believer, yes, this is also a danger. We will not be able to partake the Lord's Supper properly, and we may partake in an unworthy manner and also eat and drink judgment to ourselves. So true believers who have prepared their hearts and spirit, as explained, so that they will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We go on to consider the question, is it meant only for adult baptized believers? There are some who emphasize in this direction and practice it in this way, meant only for baptized believers or adult baptized believers. However, if we look at the scriptures, we do not see that the scriptures indicate these requirements, that you must be an adult and that you must be baptized first, then you can partake. The scriptures do not teach that these are requirements, and in our understanding, we should not impose them and forbid those who do not satisfy these requirements from partaking. The Lord's Supper is an important aspect of the life of a believer as we come together in this way, and it can be rather helpful for our spiritual lives. And so we do not want to restrain, to forbid those who can benefit from it unless the scriptures justify such a course of action. As you've seen, the scriptural emphasis is true believers. So long as they are true believers, they have prepared their hearts so that they will not partake Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and that they will not eat and drink judgment to themselves, then they can't be ready to partake. However, it is likely that to appreciate that there are contexts where this approach has been taken, that means they require you to be baptized before you partake, and perhaps also that you are an adult, is because of the concern that otherwise those who are not eligible may partake the Lord's Supper, or they may not do so with solemnity, and the meaning and spirit of partaking which is needful during such a time, and so the meaning, the spirit of the partaking of the Lord's Supper together can become compromised if various ones just freely partake. It may be perhaps be because of a certain form of control so that the Lord's Supper cannot be compromised. However, in our understanding, we see that a more helpful approach is not to forbid those who are not yet baptized, or for that matter, even those who are not yet adults, from partaking, but rather we see it as more helpful to explain who are eligible, who are ready to partake, and then to emphasize preparation of heart, the solemnity of the occasion, so that it will not be abused and that we do not partake of Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So the explanation, the understanding, and the whole spirit with which we partake as a congregation is important. For that matter, an adult who has been baptized may not necessarily be a child of God. There are some who are baptized, but they have never been born again, and so they may not be ready to partake the Lord's Supper. So without clear explanation, people can still partake the Lord's Supper when they ought not do so. In other words, this explains to you our approach, why we have adopted the approach we have. So basically, is we have not adopted the approach of forbidding those who are not adult baptized believers from partaking because we do not see the scriptures clearly teaching in this direction and forbidding those who may otherwise be eligible but who are not yet baptized from partaking and benefiting from the Lord's Supper. Generally, our approach has been, as I mentioned just now, to explain, and then we leave it to the individual believer to consider and to decide whether he should partake. We explain, you carefully consider, and then you decide whether you should partake, whether you are ready to partake. Unless we are aware that there are indications that a person ought not partake, then we may approach, speak, or discuss with the person. But generally, when we come together in this way, we leave it to you. We explain to you before the Lord, you understand, and as far as you understand, you are ready, you partake. However, if you are not clear, then you should discuss. If you are not clear whether you are ready to partake, whether you should be partaking, whether you are eligible to partake, then you should discuss. The next question is, do we have to be mature believers? We may be believers, but what if we have just come to know the Lord? Should we wait for a period of time after we have come to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior before we partake? Again, if you look at the Scriptures do not say that we need to wait until we are mature believers, nor the need to wait for a period of time after conversion before the believer can partake. Not only that, there are indications in the Scriptures that those who have just been converted may be ready to partake. We saw in the passage just now in Acts chapter 2. If you can recall, it's all right. If you, otherwise, you can turn to it in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46. We saw just now. This was a context where the hearers have just responded to the gospel, and then immediately after that, verse 41 says they were added. They responded. They were added to the congregation or to the body of Christ, and then verse 42 tells us that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So, very quickly, after conversion, it is feasible for believers to be ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. There are no indications of believers being excluded or refraining from partaking merely because they have just been converted. The main thing is we must be clear about our conversion and our commitment to trust in and to follow the Lord Jesus. And then we prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. Are we clear that we have truly believed in the Lord Jesus, repented of our sins, know Him as our personal Savior, we are born of the Spirit? Are we clear about our conversion? And then, are we clear that we are committed to following the Lord Jesus, not just for the moment, but we understand the meaning of commitment is meant to last for the rest of our lives on earth, and then to carry on for eternity? Do we understand that? And are we committed to that? If we are, then prepare our hearts and we can partake of the Lord's Supper. What about children who have believed? Can children be believers? Can they be born of the Spirit? Can they become children of God? Yes, the answer is yes. Children also can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and experience forgiveness of sins, be born of the Spirit, enter into the kingdom of God, and are children of God, true believers. It is possible. But the question then may be raised, should they partake of the Lord's Supper? I'm quite sure there are various children in our midst who are true believers. The question may be raised, should they partake? Or should they wait until they reach a certain age? As I mentioned just now, some children have raised this issue. So children, and also the younger ones in our midst, as well as all those who haven't yet started to partake of the Lord's Supper, this part of the message is especially relevant for you, and you should pay careful attention. It's relevant for all of us. Again, we look at the scriptures, and if we look through the scriptures, we will find that the scriptures do not indicate that we must reach a certain age before a child of God is eligible to partake the Lord's Supper. The scriptures do not indicate we must reach a specific age. You must be 20 years old, or 30 years old, or any age like that. There's no specific age indicated before we can partake the Lord's Supper. However, in relation to children, we should exercise some careful consideration. Why? Because for children, sometimes it can be difficult to be clear. They may say they believe in the Lord Jesus, but belief is something that is of the heart. We cannot see it. We cannot see their hearts. So they may say they believe, and especially if they are very young. They say they believe in the Lord Jesus, but they may not have sufficiently understood the gospel. They may say they believe, but they may not have sufficiently responded in their hearts. We may not be very clear at times whether are they really born again. That's one aspect that we need to bear in mind. So they may say they believe, but it may not always be easy to know whether they are really converted, are they really born of the Spirit. That's one aspect. Then, children at times, they may say they believe, but we may also not be very clear about their commitment to follow the Lord. They may not be insincere, but they may not fully appreciate yet what's the meaning of believing in Christ and commitment to follow. Because true believers, the Lord Jesus wants us to be His disciples, to follow Him. And be children, especially when they are very young, they may not quite understand this. They may not also be able to understand, even if they are genuinely born of the Spirit. They are children of God. There's another aspect that's not so easy that we also need to consider, whether is it helpful for them to begin partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that is, if they are too young, they may not be able to understand to a reasonable degree the meaning of the Lord's Supper and how to prepare their hearts so that they can partake in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind. What we have been discussing, considering in this aspect of preparation of heart, so that they will not partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. It's also not so helpful for children 1 week to partake, the next week not to partake, and sometimes children, it's easier for them to be a bit frivolous in spirit, and then they partake the Lord's Supper in that frivolous spirit. That will not be so helpful. So there are some of these issues more peculiar to children, although they can also apply to adults. So adults also need to bear in mind these issues. That is why I spend some time to consider the importance of preparation of heart and how to be ready to partake the Lord's Supper. When we are ready and we begin to partake the Lord's Supper, is in the context of a life of discipleship, and we continually, regularly partake, generally as a pattern, and with the right attitude, spirit, and taking care that we do not partake in an unworthy manner. It is also not so meaningful, not just from the angle that a child partakes 1 week, and the next week he comes, he's not so... His spirit may not be so right and not so able to prepare himself and not sufficiently taking the Lord's Supper in all seriousness in the way that they ought to. There's another aspect that's relevant, and that is sometimes a child may sincerely say he believes in the Lord Jesus, And then if you were to begin to partake the Lord's Supper, it can at times happen, and this will not be so meaningful. The child says he believes in the Lord, he partakes Lord's Supper for a period of time, and then as he grows older, he drifts away from the faith. He's subjected to influences in the schools, friends, and so on. As he grows older, he drifts away. That means, and he may, after some time, no longer consider himself a Christian. Or even if he still considers himself a Christian, but he's no longer actively seeking the Lord, seeking to honor the Lord in his life. Now that is also not so meaningful a thing. So generally, it would be better for the child to wait until he's old enough to understand, first of all, the meaning of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus and commitment to follow the Lord. He has a reasonable understanding of this, and it would be better to wait until there's some degree of stability in his faith and in his commitment. That he has committed himself to follow the Lord Jesus, not only for the moment, but for the rest of his life. He has reached a certain degree of stability in his life, a certain degree of maturity. He understands what it's all about, and he's clear, yes, I'm committed. By the grace of God, I intend to follow the Lord. Committed to following the Lord for the rest of his life. And also that he has reached a certain degree of maturity and ability to understand the meaning and the implications of this commitment, and also why is he making this commitment. Sometimes you talk to the children and then you ask them, do you want to believe? And after a bit of some explanation, they say sure, they want to believe. And sometimes after a while you ask them again, not so clear. And some you ask them, are you a Christian? Yes. Why? Because my parents are Christians. And many of these issues, they may not be very clear. So it is an issue that we should pay some attention to. They should understand why they want to become Christians, why they are Christians, what is the meaning of commitment, why is it they are making this commitment. There's a certain degree of understanding, certain degree of stability in the faith. So children, if you think that you believe, you are born of the Spirit, and if you have Christian parents, you can discuss with your parents, you can also discuss with us. I'll elaborate a little more on this subject. And one aspect for us to bear in mind is different children mature differently. So the understanding of the faith, the depth and meaning of the response to the Lord varies. So from that angle, it is not helpful for us to set an arbitrary age or just a specific age. Up to this point of time, then you must reach a certain age, then you can partake. Because children mature differently in their understanding as well as in their response to God. But if you say, can there be just some guidelines? When can they seriously consider if they are reasonably clear about their conversion? Then my suggestion is by your teenage years, if you are clear about your conversion and your commitment to follow the Lord, you can seriously consider your readiness to partake. And as I mentioned, if you have Christian parents, you can discuss with your parents. You can also discuss with us. If you do not have Christian parents, you can also discuss with us. But it may not be so helpful for children on their own. They consider and then they begin to partake. It's better to discuss so that it becomes clearer. But I want to emphasize that in your own consideration, it is a personal matter. Personal in this sense that you should not compare. Don't look around. Look at other children. And do not think that you should begin to partake because you have reached a certain age. And then your friend has reached that age and your friend have started partaking. So maybe you should also partake. Don't compare like that. Or you look around and you see your friends have reached a certain age and they still do not partake. So you reach that age, then you are also not ready. Not necessarily. Try to understand the issues involved that has been shared with you, that we are considering now. And if you understand and you think that you are ready, yes, you can seriously consider and discuss. So do not want to move in the direction of partaking just because you see others doing it. Neither should you refrain or do not consider simply because your friends of similar age are not partaking. You should consider when, as far as you can understand, it is suitable for you and you are ready, you can seriously consider. However, some children may feel that they are true believers, but based on what we have considered, they are still quite young and they are not ready to partake, then they are missing out on the Lord's Supper. And Lord's Supper is so important. And they are true believers, and Lord's Supper is meant for true believers. And just because of age, they are missing out on something spiritually helpful. This is where I now want to address this point. That children, however young you are, if you are a true believer, you need not miss out on the spiritual blessings, the spiritual benefits of the Lord's Supper. Because children, however young you may be, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust Him as your Savior, you repented of your sins, as far as you understand, you're a child of God, you can meaningfully participate during the time of the celebration of the Lord's Supper and also be spiritually blessed and strengthened by God, even though you're not partaking the physical elements of the bread and of the wine. Because the spiritual benefit, as I will consider further with you, does not depend absolutely on the physical elements. Children who believe, but for some reasons, not so suitable for them to begin to partake of the Lord's Supper because of their young age, they need not miss out. And also, they should not. Children who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who are true believers, need not miss out and need not miss out from the spiritual benefits. Neither should they think and behave as if they are uninvolved during the Lord's Supper, and they are just merely observers watching the adults partake. They are just onlookers looking. No, it should not be like that. If you are a true believer, you should join in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. You can join in together. It's just that you are not partaking the elements, the bread and the wine. While the adults who believe, or those who are older, who are ready, they celebrate together with the partaking of the bread and wine. You celebrate, you join in your heart, in the meaning of it, but you don't partake the physical elements, that is all. But all the rest, you join in. As far as you can understand, you try to understand the meaning of the Lord's Supper, you join in the meaning and the spirit of it to the degree you can understand. Whatever degree you can understand, you join in, including what you've been talking about, preparation of heart. And in this part, you find that either you've missed the message or you heard part of it, and then some parts you find you couldn't concentrate all the time. The tapes are available. Borrow it, listen it, to it, so that you can also prepare yourself during the Lord's Supper. And as you do that, as you partake Lord's Supper, as you prepare your hearts, then you can also believe, even as those who are partaking of the Lord's Supper, together in heart, in spirit, you are participating, you can also believe that God will bless you and will strengthen you spiritually, just like those who are partaking. Now, this is true also for those who generally partake in the Lord's Supper, but for some reason they are not able to be with us physically in this room. For example, you may have something to attend to in the nursery room, attending to the children, for example, or you are too ill to be present. Or for that matter, let's say you are here and you can participate in all the rest, but physically, maybe your mouth or whatever, you are not able to take in the bread. Does it mean then you cannot join in the Lord's Supper and spiritually you'll be left out? No. You can still join in heart and spirit and spiritually be a part of the celebration and be spiritually strengthened by the Lord. God is not limited by the fact that for legitimate reasons you cannot physically, or it's not suitable for whatever reason for you to take the bread or the wine. God is not limited by this. However, having said this, we must bear in mind the other side, and that is, we must treat the Lord's Supper as an important time and want to be part of it. Not thinking, oh, I'm not present, never mind. I can still be. It is not like that. It is only when, for legitimate reasons, you either cannot be present physically or for genuine reasons, it is not feasible for you to partake of the elements. But this is something instituted by the Lord. And if you can't be present, you can physically partake, and you're ready to partake, then we must do so accordingly. But if, for legitimate reasons, you cannot be physically present or physically partake in that way, then it does not mean that we cannot be spiritually strengthened and also enter into the meaning of the Lord's Supper. As I mentioned, for example, you may be physically present here, in spirit you can join in, but for some reason, for some physical disability, you're not able to partake of the bread, for example. We can and we should still participate in the meaning and spirit of it and be spiritually enriched. Some concluding remarks. The question may be raised, is it meant only for those who are living overcoming lives? What if we have a sense of unworthiness to partake? We don't feel that we are worthy to partake. What if there are weaknesses and failures in our lives? Should we partake or should we refrain from partaking? What I've just mentioned need not disqualify us from partaking. That is, though we may not be living overcoming lives, though we may have a sense of unworthiness, though we may have weaknesses and failures in our lives, any of these or all of these, it does not necessarily mean that we cannot partake. But that does not mean that these are not relevant. I won't want to elaborate. But I'm just saying that it does not necessarily mean that you are disqualified, you cannot partake, merely because there are these elements present. But we need to examine these issues more carefully. There is such a thing as generally a person partaking, but on a specific occasion, it is not suitable to partake. There is such a thing. So we need to consider more carefully. In relation to this sense of unworthiness to partake, there's one sense in which we should all come before the Lord's table with a sense of unworthiness. There's a healthy sense of unworthiness. I mentioned, in fact, this is essential as part of our preparation to partake in the Lord's Supper. So if there's a sense of unworthiness, we have to understand what kind. There's a healthy sense where we are seeking to honor God. We are seeking to live for God. But there's a sense of unworthiness as we come before God's presence. We also know that it is God's gracious provision. We are unworthy. That is a healthy sense of unworthiness. We should also come, as we've seen earlier in preparation of heart, we should come with a contrite and repentant spirit, to reflect over, to confess our weaknesses and failures, which means that where there are weaknesses and failures, it doesn't mean we cannot partake. But we should come before God with a contrite, repentant spirit, reflect over our lives, put right, confess our sins, and be washed and cleansed. A time for us to reaffirm our love for the Lord, our commitment to the Lord, consecration to God, and also asking God to forgive us and to deepen our resolve to live for Him in a manner pleasing to Him. And also, the Lord's Supper is a time when we can draw near to God, and as we partake in the right spirit, for God to strengthen us so that we can overcome. So a sense of weakness, recognition of weaknesses and failures, there can be a healthy sense, which should not then deter us from partaking of the Lord's Supper. So bear in mind, the Lord's Supper is God's gracious provision to help us in all these areas actually. It's a time for us to reflect over our weaknesses and sins. It's a time for God to strengthen us, to enable us to overcome if we recognize that we have weaknesses and failures. It's a time for us to be clearer where are our deficiencies. It's a time for us to be strengthened to live for God and not to keep away from the Lord's table because of the sense of weakness and failures. God's gracious provisions are meant to strengthen those who recognize they are weak and come before God with a sense of unworthiness. However, there is another sense of unworthiness which should make us pause and consider whether we should partake. There is another sense of unworthiness. And that is, at times, we are aware in our hearts where there's a query whether our heart and spirit is in the right state for partaking. I mentioned earlier we need to prepare our hearts. And we have a query. For example, I mentioned earlier that in preparation of heart, we must deal with bitterness, malice, bitterness towards people, unforgiving spirit. And as we come before the Lord's table, we have struggles in this area. There's bitterness towards people, and we are not able to resolve it properly. There's still an unforgiving spirit. We know we need to come before God with a contrite, repentant spirit. And we have query, are we coming before God with a contrite, repentant spirit? For example, there are areas of not only failures in our lives, but we are not quite clear that we are prepared to give up. Areas of sin in our lives, and we are still clinging to it. We are not sure whether there is a sincere desire to follow the Lord. Not just that there are weaknesses and failures, but are we repentant? Do we sincerely want to turn away from our sins? These are issues which are legitimate to consider in relation to whether we should partake. If we sincerely want to honor the Lord, but there are various weaknesses, struggles, and failures in our lives, generally, as a general principle, we can't partake with preparation of heart in a manner already explained. However, if you are not clear, again, you can discuss with those who can help you, and especially where the issues are more complex. As I mentioned just now, generally, you may still want to honor the Lord, but you may be struggling with bitterness in your heart. If you are not sure about this aspect, then it may be so. It may be an issue that needs to be examined more carefully. If you have difficulty forgiving someone or having a forgiving spirit, you have real struggles in this area, then it can be an issue. I mentioned where there are sins in our lives, we need to confess and ask the Lord to forgive us, but it's needful that there be a repentant spirit. But if you're not sure whether you have a repentant spirit, whether are you sufficiently concerned about the sin in your life and you turn away from it, then it's also helpful to discuss, to consider, examine the issue more carefully. Now here it does not mean that if there's an area where you want to turn away from it, you ask the Lord to strengthen you, to overcome, you confess, but you find that from time to time you do falter. That in itself does not necessarily mean that you should refrain from partaking. Because for many of us, there can be certain areas that we find very difficult to overcome, even though we are sincere. We want to overcome. It's not that we don't care. We genuinely, sincerely want to overcome, and we can genuinely experience God's forgiveness for our failures. But the next round, the trial comes, we may falter again. And we ask the Lord for forgiveness, and we are sincere. There is such a thing. We can partake. It does not mean that if there are certain areas in our lives whereby we do falter from time to time. And it also depends on what kind of area. Not all areas are the same. So for example, getting irritated by people and losing your sense of composure or self-control. Well, you can say losing your temper can be a more extreme, a more grave form. But when we get agitated within, that is also a failure. So we know we have been aroused, agitated, so we confess to the Lord. But then the next round, it happens again. And some of us have struggles in this area, for example. Does it mean that we are disqualified? We should not partake? No. In such areas, if we are sincere, we recognize a weakness, we genuinely want to overcome it, we confess to the Lord, we can partake and ask the Lord to strengthen us. But we may have difficulty overcoming it straight away. It may take time. And for some of us, in some of these areas, it may take quite some time. There are many other examples. Some of us can be in the area of food. We know we're not very careful in the way we eat. And then we recognize not good. And we resolve to be more disciplined. Next round, we fail again. And many other areas of life. We can have areas of struggles whereby we do fail from time to time, even though we are sincere, we want to honor God. There are some areas where we have difficulty. But in particular, if the area involved is rather significant and the nature of the sin involved is relatively significant, then we need to examine more carefully whether is there sufficient repentance on our part in relation to this issue of readiness to partake. In other words, to sum up this area, on the one hand, we should take care not to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner and eat and drink judgment to ourselves. On the other hand, we should not refrain from partaking of this significant and gracious provision of the Lord without sufficiently good grounds, especially for any length of time. I explain. We should keep from both extremes. Bear in mind both directions. On the one hand, we should not just carelessly come before Lord's table and partake. And at times, it may not be suitable for us to partake. And if we are not careful, we may partake Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And then we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. So we should take care. At times, we should refrain from partaking. But on the other hand, we should also take care that we do not refrain or we do not partake when there isn't sufficiently good reasons, and especially for any length of time. And I'm aware that sometimes these things happen. There are some people who think they are unworthy to partake, and so they don't partake not only for that occasion, but for a period of time. But if you actually examine the issues, actually they can partake, and sometimes with a little bit of correction and preparation of heart, some aspects look into, they can partake. And if you refrain from a period of time from partaking in the Lord's Supper, it is not helpful. It's a precious provision of the Lord. So this is an area that we should not take lightly. Be prayerful, seek to understand the issues involved more accurately. But in general, if some of these major principles you can understand and you are walking with the Lord, then generally, all true believers who are seeking to honor the Lord should be partaking the Lord's Supper regularly. Even in the context where from time to time there are weaknesses, there are failures, we should still be partaking of the Lord's Supper regularly. Not partaking of the Lord's Supper, refraining from time to time, should be something rare. If you are a true believer and with a sincere love for the Lord, commitment to follow Him. Remember, the evil one seeks to disturb us, to confuse us on any issue that's important, and this is one of the areas where he will also seek to disturb us and to confuse us. So we are not clear, discuss. And the evil one can attack us in both directions, these two opposite directions. On the one hand, he may work in us such that we partake the Lord's Supper frivolously or partake in an unworthy manner, and that will be detrimental to us, or he disturbs us such that we dare not partake, when in fact, actually, we should be. And as a result, we are not able to participate and to benefit from God's gracious provisions. So as a general principle, even though I've sought to emphasize, because there's a scriptural emphasis, and Paul warns us to be careful as we approach the Lord's table, not to partake in an unworthy manner, to examine our hearts. Although that is important, I want also to conclude with this remark for us to ponder about and to remember as a general principle that God is our gracious, loving, heavenly Father. If you're a true believer, if you're a child of God, God is our loving Heavenly Father. And He always welcomes all those who come to Him with a repentant and contrite spirit. This is a general principle. This is true before conversion. It is true after conversion. Before conversion, God welcomes you. If you have come before Him with a repentant, contrite spirit, He welcomes you. Whoever you may be, even though there are weaknesses, failures, sinner of whatever kind, if you are truly repentant, contrite spirit, God welcomes you. There can be forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can become a child of God. This is still true after conversion. There are weaknesses, failures in your lives. God still welcomes you if you come to Him with a repentant, contrite spirit. If you come to Him in sincerity and in faith, He loves us, He cares for us, He wants to help us, He wants to strengthen us, He wants to help all, including those who falter and fail, and He is able to do so. Do not have a false notion of God as one with a big stick is waiting for an opportunity to pounce on you, to hit you. God is not like that. But yes, if we are frivolous, presumptuous, we do not appreciate His grace, and we take for granted these things, we live our lives carelessly, the scriptures does warn us that God is also a consuming fire. But if our hearts are not rebellious, defiant, and we sincerely want to walk with God, but there are weaknesses and failures, and we are seeking to overcome them by God's grace, then it's a general principle. We can be assured that God is a loving, gracious Heavenly Father who cares for us, who wants to help us. This is true of children, of teenagers, of adults, of old people. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Reflect on the goodness of God, the grace of God, God as our gracious Heavenly Father. But bear in mind, we need to prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. Make sure we do not partake in an unworthy manner. Let us come before the Lord's table with a sober spirit, asking the Lord to search our hearts, and on our part to cooperate with the Spirit of God, that we may acknowledge whatever failures, wrongdoing, sins in our lives, and ask the Lord to wash away our sins and strengthen us to overcome, put right whatever needs to be put right. Ask the Lord to deal with any bitterness, unforgiving spirit, wrong attitudes towards people, any area in our lives not pleasing to God. Ask Him to help us to know what steps we need to take, and ask Him to help us to be able to resolve these issues in a deeper measure. And ask the Lord also to help us to affirm the positive. Let us draw near to God, affirm our love for Him, our commitment to Him, to seek to live a life pleasing to Him, not just in some areas, but all aspects of our lives. Let us express our gratitude to God, our love for Him, and also to know that we do all this not on our own, but together as members of the body of Christ, with a sense of fellowship in preparation of heart, and fellowship in partaking of the Lord's Supper together.